Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Here's your host, Zach Gelb.
Let's go. Hour number three of our radio program, and we're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studios. Home is so much more than a house. It's the home of your dreams, and for 30 years, they've been making it better. Rocket Mortgage, push button, get mortgage. National championship game getting ready to kick off in about 15 minutes. They originally said it was going to start at 8 o'clock. Whenever you hear that the national championship game is going to start at 8 o'clock, you know that's not going to be true. So, Mikey B, you're telling me this is going to be at about 8:15-ish.
Yeah, that's what the math team back here came up with when we saw the countdown. It looks like 8:15-ish will be the kickoff for the title game.
So we got two computer guys back there, as Dave Gettleman would say.
That's right.
So you guys, I'm going to trust your math on that the countdown clock is right, and it's going to be at about 8:15-ish. That means give or take 2 minutes.
I don't even trust it. The in-stadium countdown clock says is okay. Aimed for 8:15, but I don't know whether that means that that's just when players are running onto the field or what stage in the proceeding that will be.
Who did the math on that, Mikey B or Tom DiBenedetto?
It was a joint effort.
Don't look at me like that. We both did it together. I can do math, okay? Yeah, we saw it. It was at 7:50 Eastern.
Okay.
And it said 25 minutes. So to 10 minutes gets you to 8, and then another 15 gets you to the 15.
I'm also horrible at math. Like, I should be not. I'm never the authority on the math on this show.
Yes,
I shouldn't be.
But you are the brains of this program. You are. Not that you control my opinions, but when we're talking about numbers and intelligence, when you have Tom DiBenedetto, graduate of Columbia, it looks a whole lot better than Zach Gelb, graduate of Temple University, and Mike Biseglia, graduate of Syracuse.
Yes, in Tenafly High School, 2002.
Where is that located?
In New Jersey.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Okay. Gotcha. But I'm just saying, Syracuse, Temple, Columbia. A little bit different. I don't know if D-Ben loves that when we mention Columbia, by the way.
He's got a little shoulder thing going.
It's fine. It's just weird because, like, I didn't even really finish my high school math classes. I didn't take any math classes in college. I should not be even doing simple arithmetic with the clock on this show.
So you were just born smart, pretty much.
Is that what that means?
Yeah,
just take it.
I was born severely limited, but blessed in other areas.
Oh, no, I'm just saying, if you don't think you were a great high school student and you found a way to Columbia, it shows you are naturally smart.
Yeah, and I played three sports, and I was class president, and I was involved.
Were you a good athlete?
I could write well. Yeah, I was a pretty good athlete.
Like good or?
What's your sport?
I got baseball. I got recruited to play non-Division I college baseball. I just chose academics.
Gotcha. So we're going to trust the math because I'm going to assume it was more probable than not that Tom DiBenedetto did the math compared to Mikey B.
All right, let's go. Let's give me some math quiz. Let's give me some math problems. I'll nail it.
Let him be the math guy on this.
7 plus 4.
Yeah, 11.
It took you a while there.
Hey, I had to get over that double-digit hump.
I'm terrible at mental math. I took one math class in college, and that was the only math class I took in college. I got about a C, but hey, C equals degrees in my realm. And in this industry, you don't need to be having a master's degree from Princeton or Yale or Harvard or that
or
doesn't
any
need
degree
to happen.
At all.
No, you don't need to have a degree at all. That's what is great. I remember when I did a week with Taz, he got really annoyed because you remember this,
yes.
They had the whole go to college, wear your college T-shirt day. And Taz was livid because I don't think Taz graduated from CW Post, right?
Correct.
So he was livid that we weren't paying any homage to high schools or anything or people that didn't go to college, which is more than fine. You don't need to go to college to be successful in this world. But Taz was not happy with that, was very irate about that. And probably made Mikey B's life very difficult through the rest of that radio program.
Oh, it was a great show, I'm sure. We had a lot of fun.
How do we transition here? All right, it's 7 after the hour. All right, let's get to the NFL. We'll do that right now on CBS Sports Radio. We already gave you our takes on, of course, the Texans game for the Kansas City side. If you're a Chiefs fan right now, you got to feel confident. I understand you've had your heart ripped out a lot, and you haven't won since Super Bowl IV. But if you're a Chiefs fan right now, after just seeing the display from yesterday, you have to have some sense of confidence right now. I understand this Tennessee story has been a great story, but for Kansas City right now, you have to think that you're going to the Super Bowl. And you know what? You have to think that you're going to win the Super Bowl. Because even if you get the Packers, or even if you get the 49ers, and the 49ers are a better team, your offense right now just can't be stopped. And I think that there's something to it with Kansas City that people started to lose stock in them. And the stock started to drop in Kansas City where they had 4 losses. You had Mahomes get hurt and all that. And this is a team that actually lost to Tennessee earlier in the year. It was a wacky ending with all the special teams plays and all that. Right now, though, if you're a Kansas City fan, though, and I look at all 4 of these teams, I think they have the best chance to win it all. And I felt that way going back to last week. Plus, you don't have to beat Baltimore because Baltimore's now gone with Tennessee. And let's give some props to the Titans here in this segment. We have to give them credit. What they've been able to do the first 2 weeks of the postseason is absolutely remarkable. Because on paper, they were a better team. They were a better team than New England. But going into New England and winning in the postseason is no easy feat. The only teams to do that in this run of 2 decades has been the Ravens. And you throw Tennessee in there now. And you have the Jets as well. Oh, the only teams to get victories in the postseason going to Foxborough. That's how good, that's how great. And we all know what the Patriots have done over the last 2 decades. So still, even though if you have a better team, it's not easy going in there and winning. And they were able to do that, and Derrick Henry could not be stopped, and he abused that Patriots defense. And Ryan Tannehill made 2 big throws in that game, the 3rd down throw late and the 3rd down throw in the first half that did go for a touchdown. And even throw for over 100 yards. And then the next week, you go into Baltimore this past weekend. And Baltimore, the thing about Baltimore is all throughout this season, they have been unstoppable in the first quarter of games. What they've been able to do in the first quarter of games this year, it's been, I don't want to say unprecedented, but I don't remember a team being this great in the first quarter like Baltimore has been from week 1 to the postseason. Because this year, in the regular season, Baltimore has outscored opponents 128-31 in the first quarter of games. And that's what they like to do. They like to pop you in the mouth with that run game with Ingram. They like to dominate with Lamar Jackson. And that defense has done more than enough this year to get that team in that spot. Even with all they lost in this offseason, whether it was Mosley, whether it was Weddle, whether it was Suggs, whether it was Smith, they lost so much. And that defense got off to a great start in first quarters. It was a team that was running at you right downhill, and they would dominate you. And in that playoff game, which was on Saturday night, and full disclosure, I thought the Ravens were going to win. I thought they were going to cover, and I was dead wrong. But that first quarter, to be up 7-0 and to have Ingram hurt too, was such an impressive start by Tennessee. And say what you want about Lamar Jackson. And there's 2 things about Lamar Jackson. Lamar Jackson could have a great season, a memorable MVP season, and still not show up in the big game. And I know we could look at the stats and look at the first downs and look at the passing yards and all that. But Lamar Jackson, no matter what the numbers said, never looked comfortable in that game. And when that team was down and they weren't playing from in front, they panicked. And they had no way of getting back into the game. And you could tell that team was not in their element and was not comfortable. And the 2 plays that reflected the most was on the 2 4th-and-1 plays. Because 4th-and-1, they haven't been denied the entire season.
and they were denied twice on fourth and one. Not only do you have Lamar Jackson throw an interception early, and you could say, yeah, Andrew should have caught the football, sure. Then you have that team scoring a touchdown, that ridiculous catch in the left side of the end zone. But after that, it was a fourth and one play. They didn't get it. Titans, the next play, aggressive, give them credit. They throw that bomb to Khalif for a touchdown. And then there's another fourth and one, and they get another stop. And to me, the first moment I thought that the Ravens were going to win this game, it wasn't the interception and the touchdown to make it 7-0. It wasn't then the fourth and one stop and the Tannehill throw to Khalif Raymond, which was definitely impressive. It definitely was. Those two moments, you still say, okay, it's Baltimore. They're going to find a way to get back into the game. But the sequence of the second, fourth, and one stop, and then the 66-yard run, even though it was only at the time 14-6, when it's 14-6 following that fourth and one stop, leading into the 66-yard run by Derrick Henry that was so dominant, that is, to me, when I thought the game was over. Even though it was 14-6, but when Henry burst wild for 66 yards, I think that Tennessee's winning the game. And they were able to cap it out on, I believe it was a third down, where Henry throws that Tebow jump pass for the touchdown. When it gets to 21-6, even though you ended up having a Jackson fumble that led to a touchdown and make it 28-6, that game was over on the 66-yard touchdown run that led into the Derrick Henry pass. And what Derrick Henry has done, and the way that he's turned around his career, and I know he was a Heisman winner at Alabama. His first 2 years in the league were not good. Had a conversation with Eddie George, actually, last year, and Eddie George was so honest with him. And that kid has totally changed his game and turned his game around. Because the last 2 years, over 1,000 yards in 2018, 12 touchdowns, and this year led the league in rushing. And the last three games, don't forget about that clinching game. I know the Texans weren't playing their guys, but he ran for 211 and three touchdowns in that game to get him in the postseason. Remember, that's a Tennessee team. Last year, final game, regular season, they lose to Indianapolis, don't get in the postseason. From that 211 performance, then leading into the 182 against New England, then to go for a 195 against Baltimore, I don't know how you have a better three games at the running back position. I really don't. And it's been all year Derrick Henry has been their guy, has been their leader. And it's pretty cool to see when it is a passing league now, and we all talk about the great passing quarterbacks that we've seen with Brady and Breeze and Rodgers and Wilson and Mahomes and Watson. And we could go on and on and on with all the teams and all the storylines that we talk about. To see Ryan Tannehill just manage the game, make the big throws when he needs to, and you lead that attack off a running back is really cool to see. And that defense flies all over the field. When I think of the Tennessee Titans, you know what I think of? I think of their coach, too, and Mike Vrabel. Because Mike Vrabel, when he was a player, defense, catching touchdown passes in the Super Bowl with the Pats, he was willing to do whatever it did take to win. And he would make some of the best open field tackles that you'll ever see. He was a great open field tackler. He really was in Mike Vrabel. But he was so versatile. And you look at that team, and the talent on that team is not the talent of a team that should be in the AFC Championship game. But they're hungry, they fight, and they're willing to do whatever it takes. You see Logan Ryan playing 3, 4, 5 positions in the secondary. He's been all over the field this year. Outside, inside. He's been phenomenal. Even creeping up and making some run plays, blitzing the quarterback. He's done everything this year. So that team gets going off the personality of their coach, the legs of their running back, and then everyone on that team willing to adjust, and they come together as a team. They don't have great individual talent, but as a team, they have enough to make themselves a real dominant team. And once again, I picked against the first two rounds. And maybe it's stupid of me to pick against them again, but right now I just love this. I just don't think Kansas City's going to be beat. I don't. And I can't wait to see what Henry's going to do coming up on Sunday. Are we going to get another 180 yards out of Derrick Henry? I wouldn't want to be tackling him. And that's the big test for Kansas City. Kansas City, their defense, and what are they going to be able to do in that improving defense up against Derrick Henry? Because the thing about Derrick Henry is he keeps the other quarterback off the field. And he could chew up clock. He could really chew up clock. If the Titans get up to a 24-0 lead, they're not blowing it like Houston. They will not blow it. But then once again, Kansas City had that game where they got scared and they survived. They're a very dangerous football team with Patrick Mahomes, who is the best player in the sport. Wasn't the MVP this year, but he's the best player in the sport, and he's been the best player in the sport 2 years in a row. And it was an absolute disgrace last year when they did that top 100 list, and they didn't name him the top player in the sport, and they also didn't name him the top quarterback. I love Drew Brees, but Drew Brees was not better last year than Patrick Mahomes when Patrick Mahomes threw 50 touchdown passes and won the MVP of the league. Let's remember that, too. And look who's still standing here. It's Patrick Mahomes. So your quarterbacks in the final four, you got Mahomes. You have Ryan Tannehill, which is crazy to even utter those words into this microphone, and then Aaron Rodgers and Jimmy G. When we return, we'll talk about the Vikings in San Francisco game. How did the 49ers win that? We'll recap that. And it's 8:19 right here on the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. And the game is getting close to kickoff. I think we're getting set to kick the ball off in the national championship game. So we'll take a timeout. Zach Gelb Show, don't go anywhere.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show.
We could have just played in Baton Rouge, but the weather might have been bad. It's going to be like a road game. I know our fans will show up, and they'll be passionate just like they are everywhere we go on the road. But it'll be an awesome, awesome atmosphere.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show.
That's Dabo Swinney, the head football coach at Clemson. I could see Dabo before the game as we just kicked off between Clemson and LSU. Clemson had the ball first. They were driving. And then they got stalled right about at the 24-25-yard line of LSU. It was a 3rd-and-8, and Trevor Lawrence took a sack to push him back to about the 35-36-yard line. They just took a delay of game because they wanted to punt the football, give him a little extra room. And it looks like Joe Burrow's going to take over inside the 10-yard line. It would not surprise me if Dabo Swinney, by the way, is using that as motivation. Even though it's scheduled well before the season starts, this is a home game right now for LSU. With the game being in New Orleans at the Superdome, it looks like a home game on television. You expected it to be almost as if it was a home game. Maybe it's, I don't know, 80-20. If I had to guesstimate it, you can't see the entire stadium. But that's just the way that it looks in terms of LSU fan to Clemson fan. But the way Dabo's able to motivate, here's the thing that's lost about Dabo. A lot of times people think Dabo is whining. And people think Dabo is insufferable. I like Dabo Swinney a lot. I've been a big fan of his now. And what he's done, it's impossible to argue. And I understand with how territorial it is, it gets a heated conversation. And what conference it is, it gets a heated conversation. Everyone was freaking out when Dabo was talking about how no one believed in them, undefeated again. People were doubting Clemson. And I don't think anyone said they couldn't win the national championship. But people didn't think they were in the same category this year as LSU and Ohio State a few weeks before the college football playoff rankings did come out and what the final four was. So even if you may roll your eyes in that and think it's ridiculous, it doesn't matter what you or I say or what the listener says or what the viewer says. For Dabo Swinney, it's about motivating his players in the locker room. And they bought into that. And they bought into that before that Ohio State game. So it wouldn't shock me, as crazy as it sounds, if Dabo Swinney is using that it's a home field advantage and everyone's against us once again for this LSU game right now in the national championship game. So we'll keep you updated on that, LSU and Clemson. For my calculations, Mikey B, it kicked off at 8:19 and 25 seconds. That's the count that I had on the clock inside of our CBS Sports radio studio. So in the 815-ish category.
Yeah, we made the ish, and by definition, ish is anything that's 4 minutes and 25 seconds or less. So we were fine.
Yeah. Not bad math by you.
I told you. See, how about that? We're 9 minutes and 12 seconds into this game. That could be a complete and utter lie.
Yeah, I am. You could tell me that those numbers, and I would believe you because I'm awful at math. I really am. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line, 855-212-4227, is sponsored by Geico. Whether you own or rent, Geico makes it easy to bundle home and auto insurance. Having a home is hard work, so get a quote at geico.com. Easy. All right, so we got LSU and Clemson right now. LSU taking over. They're at their five-yard line. Burrow back to drop, and he's almost got sacked. Now going to spin out of it. And he's going to chuck one down, feel it to be caught. Wow. To Moss's kid. That was awesome. See, both these teams opening drives, Clemson had a funky play where it looked like it was getting a call back, but it ended up being a defensive encroachment. And it ended up standing. And this one, though, did they call an eligible receiver, an eligible man downfield? I think they are they going to pop a lineman here? Yeah, they are. Oh, that's so unfortunate. Because this play, Burrow rolls out to the right, looked like he was going to get sacked, and then hits Moss that would have put him at about the 44, 45-yard line. So now this is going to create a first and long as Burrow is standing in his end zone. He avoided the safety, then avoided the sack, then threw that pass, and that was sick. It was absolutely sick, but it gets called back. You hate to see that. So let's see what Burrow does here, and it's going to be an incomplete pass. So, hey, yeah, Clemson, they had a big play early. LSU's big play does get called back. 0-0 right now, 11:14 left in this first quarter, so we'll keep you updated. And, hey, if this is anything like the semifinals where we're going to have a lot of – I'll be sitting here talking about some topic, and the next thing you know, it's going to be, oh, my goodness gracious, what a play by Burrow. Or, oh, my goodness gracious, what a play by ATN or Lawrence. And you're going to have, barring something crazy, the first overall picks in this year's draft and next year's draft on the football field right now. Because Burrow's going to Cincinnati, and Trevor Lawrence is going to be the first overall pick in next year's draft. He has to return to college for another year. So LSU just had an incomplete pass, and that's going to bring up what it's going to be a third and 13. Let's see. This is a good ball by Burrow. It was dropped. Good coverage by Clemson as well. So that's going to create a third and 13. Before we get to the point I want to make about the 49ers and the Vikings game and tell you where that game did change. Let's just see what happens here on this third and 13 between LSU and Clemson in the national championship game. So can they get the first down here? Also, maybe they do a running play to get a little breathing room so they're not punting out of their end zone. They do a screen pass, and they're going to lose a yard or two. So this is going to be a very difficult punt. This is going to be a difficult punt right here, as it's going to be fourth down, and they're going to be on their two-yard line. They started that play at about the four, and that's going to be right at the two or the three. So this is going to be a very difficult, and I mean a very difficult punt. If you're Clemson, you're sending the house here. You just can't hit the punter on a fourth and 14. And they didn't send the house. They're going to take the field position here, and they're going to get the ball right at the 40. 43-yard line. Not bad position to take over. So let's see what the LSU defense can do. So, hey, we broke down three games so far in the NFL. Real quickly, let me get to Minnesota and San Francisco. Probably the least entertaining game of the weekend because you had Tennessee. That was so stunning how they were able to win going away. The Houston game against the Chiefs, that changed in a blink of an eye, 24-0 to the next thing you know, 28-24. And the next thing you know, it's a 51-7 run that the Chiefs did go on. And then the final game, of course, of the weekend, you had Wilson and Rodgers. That game looked like it was going to be a blowout. Wilson gets them back in, and Rodgers has two big third down throws late. But that San Francisco-Minnesota game, I was really disappointed in Minnesota. I thought they were clicking from the last weekend. We know consistency is always a problem for them, but it just shows you how you beat Minnesota. Even though Kirk Cousins was awesome, and I mean great up against the New Orleans Saints, they had the run game and they had the defense to go along with it. And in this game, Dalvin Cook could never get into a rhythm, and he did absolutely nothing up against San Francisco. And from a talent standpoint, from top to bottom in teams, even though I think the Chiefs are going to win the Super Bowl this year, San Francisco is probably the best team in what they could offer from offense and defense. And I understand that offense isn't elite, but that defense is so damn impressive. And I really think the two biggest plays of this game, once you get past Dalvin Cook not being able to do much and Kirk Cousins and what that relationship is and where the synergy is between the two of them and how important it is for Kirk Cousins to get help from Dalvin Cook. And when Dalvin Cook can't get him the help, Kirk Cousins doesn't go win the game by himself. I really thought the two biggest plays, though, was coming off a turnover. It was the Jimmy G interception. The fact that the Vikings only settled for three there, I thought was a big part in that game, because that made it 14-10 at the time. If you will get a touchdown there, I think you have just a different feel of where that game is going. And then the other biggest sequence where that game was over was when Kirk Cousins has that pick and it goes to Richard Sherman. Sherman delivers once again on the big stage. And then you see the 49ers able to punch it in and get a touchdown. When that game got to 20-10, you didn't have the belief that the Vikings were going to be able to come on back. And LSU actually is going to force a punt. So this is going to be field position once again. LSU going to take over inside their own 5-yard line. So a few punts back and forth to start this national championship game. It's 9:38 to go between LSU and Clemson in the first quarter. So really, hey, in that Vikings-San Francisco game, give all the credit to San Francisco in terms of they held the Vikings out of the end zone when they needed to. And then when they made a turnover, they forced a big play. They were able to turn it into 7. The one thing that concerns me about San Francisco, and I think that defense with Salah's awesome, I like the run game, the blocking schemes as well, is when the game is on the line, can Jimmy G get it done? And I understand we've seen signs this year. The third down throw against Arizona, the big Kittle play against the Saints, the 3rd-and-16s, 2 of them against the Rams. He was not great, Jimmy G, on Saturday. He was not great on Saturday, the 4-25 game. And they're still able to find a way to win. And find a way to win going away. So they could win without him being great. It's about the timely throws. And he's got to make the timely throws next week. Because even though San Francisco crushed Green Bay last time, I believe that game's going to be close. I do. This San Francisco team, though, the way they're built on the offensive and defensive lines and the way they could get after the quarterback, if Jimmy G just doesn't turn over the football next week or limit himself to one turnover, if you're a San Francisco fan, you have to feel confident. However, Jimmy G didn't play his best up against the Vikings, and he didn't need to. That's what's also that makes that team dangerous. But when these games matter more, championship games, NFC championship game, and then also in the Super Bowl if they're there, you're going to need your quarterback to eventually step up and make a big play. He has at times this year. Can it continue? We shall see. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. I'll get to what was the best moment of the weekend when we return. And also, we have to discuss a little bit about the Cleveland Browns hiring Kevin Stefanski as their next head coach. We'll do that on the other side.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show. The Zach Gelb Show is on the air across the nation on CBS Sports Radio.
Can you imagine Freddie Kitchens gets hired? First day he walks in, Odell started it, hashtag Team Gettleman. That would be a shirt that Freddie Kitchens would wear as he puts on his clown nose and his clown shoes, his clown's hair, and everything associated with clowns. He made the Cleveland Browns turn into the Cleveland Clowns.
Here's Zach Gelb.
Doing More is brought to you by the Home Depot. With everything you need to do, project smarter, faster, and easier. Welcome to today's Home Depot, how doers get more done. Let's take a look at a player who is doing more for his team. How about Patrick Mahomes? Good old Patty Mahomes. Mahomes threw for 321 yards and 5 touchdowns, 3 of them to Travis Kelce, as the Chiefs defeated the Texans 51-31. A little Patrick Mahomes, Zach Gelb family trivia here. Patrick Mahomes, I guess he either bought a new house or he's in the process of building a new house where he lives, close to the stadium or wherever it is. My aunt is actually moving to the area, and she calls me the other day, and she says to me, she's from Kansas, so she has like a bit of an accent. Her accents have been a theme on this show today. And she starts saying to me, "Do you know this Patrick Mahomes fella?" And I go, "Yeah, I know who Patrick Mahomes is." She goes, I'm building a house, and he's like the house or two next door. So I guess I'm going to have to go out there and do a little sleepover at the aunt and uncle's house, and I'll be out and have to go to the game. And maybe we'll meet Patrick Mahomes. Could be a potential outcome. We'll have D-Ben, myself, and Biseglia. We'll fly out there for a game next year after we make a stop off with Gus Frerotte and probably have to pay up on this bet that I'm going to have to own for a steak dinner, which I think the Frerotte camp believes. We have to clarify this with Gus when he joins us on Friday. We're doing picks for people that weren't listening on Friday. We're doing picks with Gus Frerotte each and every Friday until the Super Bowl. And Clemson just scored a touchdown, by the way. Trevor Lawrence on a run to make it 6-0 PAT is coming up in just a moment. It was a nice play design. They faked it up the middle. Lawrence about 5 yards out, then runs it off to the right side for a touchdown. PAT is good, and it's 7-0. Clemson does strike first, so we'll see how LSU will answer back. The Frerotte people, though, Mikey B, tell me if I'm wrong. I don't know. Judging by their social media interaction, I think they believe that if we lose, Gus has to come to New York and we buy him a steak. I thought it was the loser has to drive to the other person's home city and go to one of their local steakhouses.
Now, I was under the impression what you're saying out loud, but I can contact the Gus Frerotte people to clarify and make sure that everything is good before, you know, this pieces of meat are just, you know, go on in different directions, and we make sure we know where we're going when it's all said and done in a couple of weeks.
Now, I have no problem, by the way, going to Peter Luger here in New York, because it's, to me, the best steakhouse, no matter whatever that jerk from the New York Times or Post gave a bad review, and he's a dope and an idiot for doing so, because if you actually been there, there's no way that you can tell me that meal is not what it once used to be or not a great meal. It's porterhouse, you get the creamy spinach, you get the bacon, you get the lobster mac. It's absolutely delicious. So don't tell me that's a bad meal. I want to go, win or lose, though, I kind of want to find ourselves in Pittsburgh, because it would be a fun show trip, and we could have some bonding, and we could go to one of their steakhouses, and just in case if I do lose, it will be a little bit easier on my pockets, because I don't think the steakhouses are going to be that expensive compared to the steakhouses here in New York.
Probably not as expensive, so yeah, it would be the right move for your wallet to save a couple of dollars. But I like that idea regardless. You know, mm-hmm. We go to Pittsburgh, but, you know, win or lose depends on who's actually going to end up being paying for the meal once
sure.
we're there.
Because I don't think Frerotte will mind, hey, even if we win the bet, let's go out to you. I don't think he would mind about that. Maybe he really does want to come to New York, though. You never know.
Yeah, you don't. I mean, maybe he's in the mood to travel, get to see some of the sights here in New York.
Get out of the house.
We can show him parts of New Jersey, too. Really show him a good time.
He had, by the way, a great line on Friday. And because I was laughing about something else, I may not have fully recognized him saying this. So he's given us some pep talk or something. I forget how it starts. And I go to him in an innocuous comment. Some people texted me thinking this was intentional. This was not intentional. After what he said, because we were talking about Joe Judge the day before, how he makes you want to run through a wall for someone. So Frerotte was firing us up that I said, that was so great. You make me want to run through a wall for you. And he goes, well, I already tried that once. Now, I was laughing about the avocados, but re-listening to that and hearing that,
with his history,
right,
headbutting the wall when he was with the Redskins, it was a very well-played line by Gus Frerotte. If we have a good social media team, not social media, if we have a good, I guess this is you, D-Ben, we need to put a good rejoin together for next week of the Frerotte one-liner of him acknowledging, yeah, I've tried that before, you shouldn't run through a wall for me.
I have to give him a lot of credit, too, for having fun and going along, yeah, you know, saying something like that. A lot of guys would take themselves too seriously, not be cool with it, but he was totally down. He laughed as he said it, so a lot of credit goes to Gus for having some fun in that moment, too.
Yeah, because especially it was an innocuous comment right by me. I remember last year I was at the Super Bowl, and I was talking to Thurman Thomas, who happens to be a nice guy, but I brought up the fumble in the Super Bowl. I brought up him losing his helmet, and just talking about it, when you're on Radio Row, those are things that you have to bring up, and especially when you're talking with someone at the Super Bowl. And Thurman Thomas, during that conversation, I kid you not, he kind of patted me on the leg and was like, all right, move on. He was not happy about it. He did address it, but he was doing the interview actually with the very nice man who fought for our country and ended up losing his leg. And I was talking to this Marine afterwards that night, because we ran into each other at the same Super Bowl party. And he comes up to me, the Marine, and he goes, man, you got some cojones. He goes, we did, and this is a Marine telling me I have cojones. So that's a compliment. But he goes to me, we did about 60 interviews that day. And he goes, you were the only one to bring it up. And I sat there and I said, first off, thank you for your service. And second off, thank you for saving me in the interview. Because the Marine realized the tension and saw him slap me on the leg. And he interjected and made like some great point. I have to go back and listen to the interview. So it's nice. And Thurman Thomas, maybe I'm making out to be like he was that annoyed about it. He did give me an answer on the question. But he basically also said, you could go look it up. I've talked about it before. Frerotte, though, was willing to, you could tell he's willing to make the jokes, even when I wasn't even clearly making a joke, but it did come off that way on the air.
Yeah, no, he was great. He didn't mind. He played in the moment, and I thought it was a lot of fun, and the picks were great, too.
All right. Well, I don't know about that.
From a listening standpoint.
I went 2-2 in the NFL, and then I got that hockey under wrong. The Penguins. Who scored the goals? Penguins and Avalanche? I'm not the player. I'm not asking you. One of the teams scored to put it into overtime, and then the over clearly hit in overtime.
Yeah, I believe the Avs scored late to tie it at 3-3, but then the Pens held on in OT.
I don't like either of those teams. Okay. Not a fan of the Avalanche or the Steelers. They prevented me from having an above 500 weekend. I did, though, by the way. I did take a parlay. Chiefs, it was minus 10, and the Packers money line. First quarter of that Chiefs game, was not feeling too good about that one. But it ended up hitting. So had a big old $20 to win 40 bet this weekend on the big stakes that were placed in the Gelb household. So Kevin Stefanski, by the way, is going to be the next coach of the Cleveland Browns. With all the names that were out there, and maybe it's the right hire, it does seem, though, underwhelming. I was reading this article, though, and it says Stefanski presented a detailed vision of how he will approach the head coaching job. He made it clear he was willing to yield to certain Dee Podesta standards. That's Paul Dee Podesta, who used to be in baseball, now in football with the Browns, such as analytics persons with a headset and access to the coaching staff on game days, in addition to certain Haslam likes, such as hour-long Monday after owner coaches meetings. Here's the problem with Stefanski. Stefanski could be a good coach. He could be a horrible coach. We don't know. I don't trust the Browns organization. I don't trust Dee Podesta. I don't trust the Haslams. And they're going to have this analytic guy on the headset. And I also read another report. They have to approve the game plan with an analytic guy and take input from him the Friday before games. I like analytics. I don't live and die by analytics, though. A lot of it has to be gut, too. And I just wonder with Kevin Stefanski, how many times will Kevin Stefanski claim that his headset goes out when you're trying to make a quick conversation in the big moment and you got this analytic guy screaming there, oh, well, the odds are on 3rd and 8. You should run a play here to the right side on a draw. This is what we should do. I'm employed by Haslam and Dee Podesta, and that's what we should do, okay? That's what we need to do here on this 3rd and 8 situation. All right, come on. Let your coach coach. It's that simple. You hire this guy. Let him decide how much analytics he's going to use. Use them. We should all use information, but you don't have to live and die by analytics. And I think the Browns, having Dee Podesta run that team and have all this decision-making power, are going to live and die by analytics. I don't know what Stefanski will be. I just don't have confidence in the people running the Browns to get it right and get Cleveland fans what they deserve, and that's a championship. Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.